Hey, everybody, this is Logan Olson.
And this is Ben Geely.
And we have our guest with us today.
Hi, I'm Harley. Thank you for having me.
And our secondary guest.
I'm Freddie.
And this other guy.
I'm Dez.
And this is To the Future. So thanks for being with us here today, Harley.
My pleasure. I wish I got an invite to that little thing you guys did there.
You want to do it again?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. To the future. Freddie chose to abstain with his cute little soda.
Is
that a big red?
I have a strawberry soda, gentlemen.
Oh, a Nesbitt's.
It looks good. How is it?
It's good. Nesbitt's is a California soda company that kind of went out of business for a while, and they kind of have now come back due to the soda revitalization. So they have an orange, they have a peach.
And thus is the Nesbitt story.
You got paid for that?
No, I just love soda, man.
Cut that shit out, Alex, until we get a check.
That shit doesn't fly.
I don't like Nesbitt's. So
thank you. Thank you for balancing that out. Yeah. Don't worry about cutting it, Alex. Harley just said, fuck it.
So, Harley, what are you an expert in, would you say?
I'm an expert in, you know, nothing useful. I don't think I've ever been an expert in anything useful. Unfortunately, I'm a jack of all trades more. Mm-hmm. I touch on many things, but I'm really not an expert at anything.
Oh.
I've touched so many things, though.
Oh, so how do you keep busy these days? Where would people know you from?
Touching on many things. Oh, I'm on the internet on youtube.com/epicmealtime, or you can see me on some of Freddie's stuff. I've been in like two or three of those things.
Just generally waste of time.
So at some point, I don't know how.
One on the internet isn't.
Maybe it's because I try teaching and then I discuss teaching with Freddie, but at some point he mentioned that you were a teacher in a previous life. What grades did you teach, or was it college students or what?
I taught grade 10 and 11.
The worst grades.
Yeah, those little motherfuckers.
Maybe eighth graders are probably the worst creatures on the planet.
Little,
those little shitbags.
Yeah, those little
fuckers.
Scum motherfucker. I taught 10th grade, 11th grade, history and media. I substituted as well in elementary school. I did all this since I was like 22, substituting at 22. And I got a job as a teacher for a year when I was 24 or 25. Then I put burgers on a pizza, and that was that. But it was fun.
Hollywood.
I totally remember being in class, and it was really quiet because I was like a spare in between classes, and I was grading, and I thought, this isn't that bad. I could do this for 25, 35 years maybe. And I was doing it, and then I just thought about how like that can go by really fast, 25, 35 years. At the time, I was still into internet shit. You guys say shit on this podcast?
Yeah, you can say
whatever
you
want. Fuck balls, dick. So, Freddie was talking about racial slurs. Lay one on us, Freddie.
No.
Fucking pussy.
Freddie, what's your... Freddie, he
said no, but he just lipped kike at me.
Anywho, teaching.
Teaching.
You were interning at a shit?
What was I saying?
You said you were interning at a shit.
Yeah, I think you interrupted your own thought with another thought about swearing, and that's why the grammar came out odd to us.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I was still into internet shit.
So much different.
I'm like, what are these assholes talking
Very
about?
Different than interning at a shit.
When you first said it, I was like, so there was something called shit.com that he was interning at. That's where my brain immediately went.
It's like, what was that like? Is that like pets.com?
Yeah, it sounds great. I thought I knew about the internet, but I guess I don't.
So, dude, you're into the internet and shit.
Yeah, real side note, you guys should pick up shit.com before this airs.
Just in case.
Yeah.
It's going to blow wide open after this.
There are probably like 600 visitors.
Yeah. There's a something.com, which is a white page with the text something, and that's it. That's all it is. And someone pays money for that.
So Des is now visiting, I assume, shit.com, and it's just...
Shit.com took me to mysexcams.com.
Yeah, that's smart.
Smart.
That's
really
very
smart.
So how
did you fall into teaching, dude?
Oh, yeah, I was saying I was into internet shit back then, and I wasn't an expert at it. I'm still not. And I remember grading papers. Just on the side note of grading papers, I used to turn on Ustream with my laptop and go on Facebook and be like, hey, guys, and remember, this is just like my 2,000 Facebook friends. It's a lot, right? I'd be like, hey, guys, yeah, I'm just grading papers, so if you want to pop in and watch, here's the link. And I would have my laptop set up on Ustream, and I would literally not acknowledge it, and I would grade papers for about an hour or so. And I would never acknowledge its existence. And I did that a couple times when I was sleeping also. I remember one time I went to sleep, and I set up my laptop on my Ustream. I was like, hey, everyone, I'm going to sleep. So if you want to watch, tune in. And I like fell asleep watching Top Gun. And I woke up in the morning, and there was like four viewers. So like, I wake up, I see my laptop. It's like four viewers. I'm like, oh, this is a stupid idea. And I'm like closing. I was like wondering, I wonder who like slept with me, kind of online, like who watched me through the night, who also like lay down and like looked at their laptop and like stroked it with their finger.
Start
and they're
jerking.
Like, good night,
just jerking. Running there, like outlining your jaw on the screen with just one person. Like,
so beautiful.
How many times do you think somebody achieved orgasm while watching you sleep?
Zero, considering how disgusting I am with my shirt off. Probably.
I think you're greatly underestimating the spectrum of sexual proclivities in this country.
I was
going to
say there's a bear market.
And there's also, which Logan is
rock hard bear market.
Am I a bear?
I assume you're relatively.
I think Freddie has a story about
the bear
me.
Market, which Logan is quite familiar with, mm-hmm. because after we graduated, we decided to all make a communal YouTube account. That everybody would just put stuff on. Just be, hey guys, here's what I'm doing after college. And Logan put up a video, and it's still searchable. And it's called Logan's Guns. And he took some still photos with his laptop and set them to Jizu, Joy of Man's Desiring an iPhoto. You know, da, 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 da. And he's sitting there, and it's slow motion, black and white photos of him flexing the camera. And all these videos in this account got like maybe, you know, like six views, five views here and there. Logan's had, I think, 300 by the end of the week.
It should be noted, A, this was before anybody, like, we had big YouTube views, and B, this was after I gained 40 pounds on my Bronson diet. So I was pretty swole.
Heard about this.
Yeah, I was pretty swole at the time. I was like 200 pounds, 5'7", so that's impressive.
YouTube.com/Tanetta777. So you Google Tanetta or YouTube Tanetta. I'm sorry. That's all. This guy has about 2,000 videos. Standing in front of like a curtain, kind of like this, just on the wall. He'll usually put balloons on it. He'll wear a different mask, and he just, everyone is like an original song that he produced.
Wow.
It's a music video, and he's like 70 and fabulous. And I mean, he has songs like Hitler Would Have Loved You.
Oh, whoa.
So, anyways, I was a teacher, and I substitute taught for about 2 years, and. Yeah. Taught for one full year in the third year.
Well, let me ask you, when you were teaching, was that about the time you had kids with like cell phones and text messaging and all that going on?
Yeah, there was cell phones, text messaging. I was super careful about my Facebook profile.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't search me if you wrote my name in or anything like that, because kids do that. They search out their teachers and things like that. Oh, yeah. I assume that, one, it's just like, what does my teacher do? Like, you ever, when you were younger, you'd see your teacher at the mall, and you'd be like, Mrs. Johnson, what are you doing here? And she's like, I'm at the fucking mall, Freddie. What do you think?
I gotta eat. I gotta buy clothes. You think I am a fucking robot? I'm like a mushroom that they grew in a closet?
So that's essentially it. I guess kids want to be like, what does my teacher do? And Facebook allows shit like that. So
you think Facebook should just not allow that? Just like if it sees a kid looking for their teacher, it's just straight
stop.
Like banned.
We think someone that you are looking for.
Someone
Mrs.
looks,
Johnson.
Yeah, someone looks up Mrs. or Mr. anything. It's like, nope.
Taking away your search privileges for 24 hours. Let you cool down there.
Or it says like, how do you know this person? Like, they're my teacher. It just like instantly defriends you. And it's like, what are you doing?
Delete your account.
Yeah, I so maybe kids like want to like, oh, I'm going to get my teacher. That way if I do poorly on this test,
I'll get
I got
some dirt
shit.
On you. Yeah.
I got some shit on them.
So you made yourself unreachable.
Unsearchable,
like
unreachable.
NSA style.
You couldn't find me.
I did that on my Facebook years and years ago. I just don't like, I did it as like a preemptive thing for like employers. I was like, no.
No one wants you. Come on.
I don't
want
to be found.
No one's going to find
you. Well, no, I get fucking freaked out when people do find me and friend me because then I'm like, how in the fuck did they find me? Okay.
They typed your name.
Like, no, no.
Oh, no, now.
I've been unsearchable for years and my last name is very unique. So, like, you could type my last name in, and, like, there's, like, five
of us.
Well,
it's the name of a Ben Affleck movie.
Yeah, but when you're searching through Facebook, not every, like, it's not like, wow, 800 versions of this Ben Affleck movie popped up. I wonder which one. Like, there's, like, me, my sister, my mom, my dad, and, like, two guys in Jersey I don't know.
Okay, I think it's time. Let's talk about the future of teaching.
Yes.
So, there's there's, I feel like, short term, near term, and the future of teaching feels very dramatically different based on different age ranges. You said you specialize in like 10th and 11th grade?
No, I specialize in nothing. I'm an expert of nothing.
Okay.
But I did teach.
It's like the first thing you said, Logan.
God, try to keep up. Aren't you listening, Logan?
You got a sheet of paper in front of you, some words. None of them are notes, apparently.
Plus, it's weird to be like, I'm a specialist when it comes to 14-year-old boys and girls.
You heard it here first, folks.
Side note, you can go to ratemyteacher.com, and I'm there. Got a full
still
profile.
There? Really? Still there?
Just go past the first five pages of like bacon strips. Taught me how to drink Jack Daniels. And go right to like the real ones, and you get stuff like, pretty chill teacher. I mean, we didn't learn much, but it's pretty chill. That's literally what the comments are.
Can I ask you real quick before we get into the futuristic discussion of it? As a teacher, how much weight did you put into the sites like ratemyteacher.com? Would you like look for like, oh my gosh, oh my students really, I really moved somebody today? Or was it just like, fuck these kids?
Oh, I saw it. I was like, oh, it's hilarious. And like someone was like, didn't learn much, but I'm like, fuck do you mean you didn't learn much? Pay attention then. Like that's your fault.
Much. That's on you.
What subjects were you teaching?
I taught history and media. And when you're a young male, you, as a substitute, you get called, at least in Canada, you get calls to substitute for physical education like crazy. Like always. Because it's just like, you know, all the other substitutes are like old bitches and they're just like not going into phys ed, you know? You know how many versions of dodgeball I got? I have so many.
I can only imagine. I know of like 2.5 off the top of my head.
You know what? Like I would go into class and it was no joke. They'd be like, oh yeah, sub. And half the class would be like soccer. And half the class would be like basketball and would split right down the middle every time. And I'm always like, neither. Grab a soccer ball and a basketball. We're playing dodgeball with them. And that was it. I still got videos on my phone of some kids getting pegged.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's awesome. Was that like deeply satisfying for you? It's like, oh, right there. Yeah. Fuck you.
I share this story all the time. It's like my 10th time sharing it, but you guys never heard it. I would bring in my, and you.
Accurate.
You right there. I would bring in a TV into the front of the classroom and like set it up because like the kids would come in and they'd see the TV and be like, yes, movie, yes. And I would set it up, and then I would do attendance, and I would stand up and be like, oh, what's this doing here? And I'd like roll the TV out. I'm like, this is from the class before, and they're like, oh.
That is brilliantly cruel.
Yeah, and I thought about this. I haven't executed it because I just stopped teaching, but I was like, I've done that to them like 4 or 5 times, you know, where I'd be like, oh, what's this doing here? I move it up, like, take out your textbooks, turn to page 25. I'd done it multiple times.
Yeah.
So I thought about like how the last time I brought it in, they're like, oh, okay, we're not even watching a movie. And I never executed this, but it would have been genius if I was like, went over, turned the lights off after taking attendance, turned on the movie, and they're like, yes. And it was me being like, take out your textbook, turn to page 22. And it was just the lesson on a video.
Surrealist theater. Yeah. Like, oh, God, that's fucking awesome. Yeah. I fucking love that so much.
Yeah.
Teach those kids a dark lesson about life.
Oh my god.
So, you know what? On the future of teaching, you said the immediate and the.
Let's start with the immediate. Like, how do you feel about teaching currently?
Well, I mean, I was a teacher and I'm a pretty fucked up dude. I mean, I guess, you know what? We're right now in the USA. I'm in Canada. I taught in Canada. I taught in Quebec. So. A lot of it has to be in French also, a lot of the learning. It's very different, but I could just tell you as a student, university learning to become a teacher, many, many things that they showed us was like, here's what they do in the States. This is what not to do. We are going to do very different things from this.
No, hold on. I just have to ask that question. Is that like, okay. I can understand where it's like, there's a lot of different teaching styles. Some work, some don't. Comparisons. But to actively set out and be like, all right, you know what they do down south? It's this thing. It's fucking wrong.
That's okay, totally it.
But wow. My question is that it's like, what purpose does that serve except to be like, okay, we all know about America. We're all aware of it. Just to point out how fucking stupid they are so we can all feel a little bit better about today. They do this. Soak it in, everybody.
Do you have an example?
All right,
of that?
There we go.
Yeah,
moving on.
It actually came up during like one of the better classes I had. I remember it was they explained how teaching is in the States, you know, leave no man behind. And, you know, some kids, they just get kind of pushed through and like they end up graduating grades not really having learned anything or not repeating, you know, just teachers stuffed classes, things like that. And then he went on to explain how we do the opposite of that. And, you know, multiple intelligences. And we ended up watching the movie School of Rock. If you ever seen that with Jack Black. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that is...
And when you came in that day, oh, sweet, a movie.
I was like, fuck, yes. The movie's all about how, you know, he comes and he doesn't know shit about teaching. And then, you know, he wants to put together the big show. And, like, some kid's like, I don't like music. I don't want to do music. And he's like, oh, well, you'll design the costumes. And the kid was like, awesome. He was into fashion, so he was designing the costumes. The other kid was like, I don't like music. He's like, you'll do the lights and the technical stuff. And, right. You know, they had a choreographer, and it was basically like, essentially, you know, if you're bad at English, reading and writing and spelling, well, you're definitely going to fail that whole quarter devoted to problem solving and math, which is entirely reading and writing.
Mm-hmm.
So your English is going to fail your math, but maybe you're still good at numbers. Maybe there are things you could do with numbers. You know, someone who's bad at math, bad at reading and writing, doesn't mean they're a stupid person. In fact, if you're a child and you can draw, if you're like 9 years old and you could draw depth or any 3D object, that's a big sign of intelligence in itself. And it's art, and we kind of downplay art all the time, but that's a big deal. Like, to be able to just take perspective with your eye and transfer it to paper, you know, maybe it's not words or math, but it's still very smart.
It's high-level cognitive function.
Totally. And at the same time, being into certain physical activities is smart as well. Like, maybe you're not good at reading and writing, but maybe you know the football playbook in and out for the team you play for, you know, and there's a lot of memorizing involved in there. And so maybe it's not because you're bad at reading and writing. Maybe it's just you're not enticed enough to learn to read and write unless it's something you love. So it's all about, let's take what the kids love individually and trick those little fuckers into learning something.
Right.
So it's like, it's all about, you know, edutainment. It's entertaining and it's fun. And it's like, you know, when the class is done, they walk out and you're like, those little bastards don't even know that they learned something today. But that's what it's based off of. And what brings me back to the whole, how the teacher started a class with that disgusting comment about USA education system.
I just love it.
That is disgusting.
Hey, I'm a quarter Canadian, I'll have you know. And I just love the fact it's like, so we all know they're fucking nuts, right? Just one more for the day.
And we were all in class. We were like, yeah!
Fucking nuts! All right, let's learn how to actually teach some kids.
Nods all around. Just like someone taking the note. Just like,
USA underline fuck sticks. Underline.
Where was I? What was I saying?
Well, I mean, I think what you're saying, what's interesting is that that's what gets down to, which is there's a lot of kids, and there's a lot of the fundamental problem with teaching is like the inability to tie in individualistic teaching methods with the fact that you have a giant class. And a lot of times in the U.S., you have teachers who are outnumbered to a great degree by their students, and they have to. And really, the only thing they can do is they teach for the test down here, and they try and get to, you know, the standardized testing is such a giant measure. It's the yardstick by which we measure academic success.
I actually, like, how do you feel about standardized testing? Like, was that something you had to deal with in Canada?
There is a history test, and it's done in French. And to pass high school, you have to take this 10th grade French history test that tells you about French culture. And it's essentially, you know, there's a big thing going on with English and French in Quebec where I'm from. So 10th grade, lots of kids don't pass high school because it's a very boring history. Sorry to any historian out there that loves the timber trade and fur trade.
That shit's riveting, man.
Yeah, but it's essentially.
Also,
you know,
by the way, the minute you just said that, all I know about like Quebec, I learned from like Mesrine the Killer like a week ago. So you talking about this, and I'm just having flashes of like the Libre Quebec guy blowing up a bank. I'm like, living in Quebec must be amazing.
You know what? Like, I actually, it's all about timber trade, fur trade, blah blah blah. And then it gets to 70s. I'm like, all right. this is the good shit. Tanks rolling the streets of Canada, and kidnappings and shit like that. Mail bombs. That's good.
This is our time, people. And we're the center of attention.
For one small snippet of time there, we were doing it.
You guys were like doing Northern Ireland, but with the French and like kind of
maple syrup.
Yeah, maple syrup. Like Northern Ireland with maple syrup and more snow.
But at this point, this comes like three quarters through the year, so the kid, you already lost a lot of the kids at this point.
So you should start out with the 70s.
And then flashback.
Use it as the fulcrum of history in Quebec is 1974.
Yeah, like teach the class like a Tarantino movie and like start with that and go back and then come back to it and then go to all the shitty parts.
These kids that are just fucking confused. You're like,
wait, what happened?
Fur trade? What?
There's tanks and then the beavers shot?
What does the guy who was trapping fur have to do with the dude with the wicked mustache that shot all those people in the bank? Nothing, but that's the point. It's thematically joined. Now, if you all turn the page, we're going to talk about how we burnt down the White House in 1812.
And they'll be like, no, listen, don't worry about it. I'm going to get an infographic done at the end of the semester. That will be a nice timeline of everything. You guys will get it then. But that is like one of the few tests that is genuinely like that, the math test in 10th grade and 11th grade. But I saw like a video online. It was a kid. I don't know if you guys saw this. A kid with like long hair. And the teacher's sitting down, and he stands up, and she's like, get out of my class. And it's someone filmed it. And he's walking out, and he looks like, you know, he looks like kind of like a punk, but everyone looks like a punk when they're younger, and they're just, you know, dressing stylish. And he's like walking out. And he's like, you know what? He stops the door and turns around. She's like, just get out. And he's like, no, listen to me. And she's like, just get out. She doesn't want to hear it. You see her, she's like fully sitting, like her arms crossed. She's just like, man. The kids are sitting there quietly with like a white piece of paper in front of them. And he's like, no, hear it out. He's like, this is bullshit. Okay, you want us to learn. You got to get us excited to learn. Every day you come in here, you give us packets, more packets. It's always packets. Like, we're young. We don't want to read packets. Stand up there. Stand up. Get out of the chair and teach it to us. Explain it to us. Show it to us. Don't give us these packets, a pen, and tell us to just do it. And the whole time she's like, mm-hmm. And I'm watching. I'm like, oh, the kid totally has a point. I mean, listen, I don't know. Maybe this is the one day of the week that she's sick. Who knows?
Maybe this is the one day of the week he's not being a total dickhole to her.
Yeah, exactly. There's a million reasons. But just that point right there is like, you do have to get the kids excited. You have to plan in advance. You have to come up with things and make it interesting. And that's what's hard, you know? Like, essentially, as a teacher, you have to always perform for the kids. Because, like, if you're in there and you're flat and you're boring, they're not going to listen. If you're, like, full of life and you're entertaining, you're going to have their attention.
So what you're saying is down here in the States, we need to patch Adams up our education system.
Teach them with laughter.
Teach them with laughter and joy.
You know, there's one thing that's a really big thing that stands out to me just hanging out here in the States a lot is in Canada, public school is cool. It's totally regular, totally not anything. Here, like, I get a lot of, like, I've seen many, like, oh, we went to public school.
Dude, barely you know went what, to school. Dude, that's a California thing. I'm going to tell you that right now. I came from the Northwest, and, like, I went to a public school. I went to public school not far from where you went to school, Freddie.
Yeah.
Like, the public schools up there, like, there are some rough ones, but by and large, they're fine.
But Freddie went to a really bougie school.
Oh, no. Freddie went to a super bougie school.
Was it Bill Gates school?
Yeah.
It was.
I literally remember when my buddy was going to go to Lakeside, and I asked my mom, like, Mom, can I go to Lakeside? And she's like, honey, I'm sure you're intelligent enough, but your father and I cannot afford that shit. just like, not even a conversation.
Factoid. I taught at Lakeside Academy. That was the name of the school I taught at in Canada.
No kidding.
Weird.
Yeah.
Trippy.
Crazy.
Both named after the same Jeffrey Lakeside.
Jeffrey Lakeside, the famous Quebecoian tank driver from the 70s.
Who retired in Seattle.
He rode his tank all the way from Montreal to Seattle. Yeah.
Planting
the
maple trees
along the way. It was
known as
his pathway of destruction, and you can still walk it. It's just like Sherman's March to the Sea. It was Lakeside's tank ride to the Pacific.
Every person he murdered, he put a maple tree down.
It's called the syrup trail of tears. Right? Yeah. But that's a California thing, man. I'll tell you, like, public schools where I grew up, like I said, there were some rough ones. There were ones that we'd all be like, oh, fuck you. Fucking,
like, whoa, careful, buddy.
What was the one?
I can think of a couple.
There was the Seattle one, Ing. There was like Roosevelt, Garfield, and there was the really tough Seattle one. I can't fucking remember what it was. It'll come to me 20 minutes from now. I'll just shout it out, and it won't mean anything
to anyone.
Sleep. Yeah, no, but like public schools up north or in other places, totally cool. You come down to California, I found the same thing.
Well,
you
know,
like,
but,
oh, man.
But the reason why is because the L.A. Unified School District is like legendarily shitty. Like,
yeah.
As far as public school districts go, especially down in L.A., everybody talks about it's like, well, if you want to end up being a loser and have no prospects in your life, yeah, go through this school system. But there's a big effort to be like, oh, God, get out of this anywhere but the L.A. USD. You know, like, that's such a bad district reputation-wise.
It's also, I think, the largest in the country. It's some it's like some gigantic monstro.
Well, it's like that, and the Chicago inner-city school system is just, yeah, a lot of issues.
We had watched a couple of videos following, I forget what the name of the school was. It was like a specialized New York school, and it was really... they were doing something. I don't know. I don't think it was private. I think it was like special education. So they kind of had their own rules a little bit. It was for kids in need, essentially kids that, you know, maybe don't have like families or whatever, things like that. And it was really, they were doing some spectacular shit. So, you know, it's not like up in Canada. We're like, oh, they're so dumb. Oh my God, they're so dumb.
When you say spectacular shit, what?
It was like they were doing programs that were essentially giving kids larger responsibilities. Like one of them, they had essentially like the equivalent of a science fair type thing, but traveling. So the kids organized it themselves. Like they had the whole team put together and everything like that. And there's adults like guiding them, but everything is on the kids. And like with a little bit of like a little bit of a competing aspect to it, it was just giving them the responsibility, so they felt more connected to it rather than, you know, something passive. And this was also this was tied in with extracurricular activities. So it was essentially like, you know, the whole thing I think was like keeping them off the streets after school. So they were doing this stuff, spending their energy doing this after school as well.
It's basically like that advanced babysitting technique where you just chase the kids around the yard and then pray they fall asleep.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we just fucking tire them out. They're not going to have enough energy to go out at night and do drugs.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Like, whenever I read about education or hear about education, there seems to be this dichotomy between the lecturing and the performing aspect and this sort of, let's have the class just work together and problem solve and... whether they facilitate or what have you. What it seems to be is how programmed do we want the education to be to a certain extent? Like how structured versus I present you with a problem and I let you use your cognitive development, like your cognitive development skills to use math or verbal, but just figure it out as a horde of children, and that will get them moving forward. And I remember somebody even saying they should be doing their homework in class as a collaborative exercise and listening to lectures at night when they're by themselves.
And I'm fairly certain I've seen studies recently that basically show, like, they've done it. They've compared, like, test high schools and, like, special high schools. Special, I mean, like, experimental high schools, where there's basically, like, they can't see any actual benefit for a student over, like, the age of, like, 13 or 14 in homework. They're like, if they're a little kid and they need to, like, think about, like, their times tables and stuff and, like, go home and work with their parents on it, then it's useful. But, like, after about the age of 14, like, homework doesn't do shit for kids.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's speaking to the central dichotomy of education, which is there's book smarts, there's book learning, and there's facts, and there's memorizing is one side, and then there's experiential learning, and it's like, you know, being able to apply concepts and problem solving and dynamic sort of thinking. And the biggest issue is you can only measure one of those. You can only measure book smarts. So as a result, all the metrics that you have to gauge success and to gauge progress is only geared towards the book smart side of things. And there's no real way, and nobody's really devised an interesting way to sort of develop a way of measuring that other side of things. And they're finding now more and more that other side of things is what translates to actual success and income and et cetera, et cetera.
I was once forced, to be totally clear, to do a leadership camp because I
was, oh my God, I you was, did leadership
it was,
camp?
I was
those are never forced.
No,
I'm a teacher, I know leadership camps are never forced. He applied, and went through an interview process.
I ran for a shit. I ran for student office. and I won, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to be a senator. I'm going to help plan prom. I'm like, you got to go to this leadership camp or you can't be a senator. And so me and my other shithead buddy were like, we were like, fuck, we got to do this. So we went there, and we were me and one other, my best buddy, and then the other guy that we met who was quite good at kicking himself in the face. That was his skill. He could stand there and balance on one foot and kick himself in the face as hard as he possibly could. And we discussed how a real leadership camp wouldn't be some goddamn camp they sent you to where you talked about things and you did like a trust wall. A real leadership camp is that in the bus ride up to the fucking mountains, the driver, who is a paid actor, stabs himself with a little knockout shot and has a stroke, and then the bus goes off a cliff, all planned, and then you find yourself, you and your 20 compatriots from a variety of high schools, stranded in a valley in the North Cascades approached.
Really, you want Lord of the Flies.
The best way to truly determine, not only is it a great way to really measure the intelligence, but you also get a really good sense of people to just watch for the rest of their lives. You're like, so everybody did pretty good. There was a lot of teamwork. They solved some problems. They helped some people that got hurt in the crash. Rory Johnson, we need to put a flag on that name and that social security number, because there were some terrifying tendencies for that kid in the woods.
Why stop at leadership camp? This should just be everything. Survival. And at some point, it's like, yes, the initiation, the event for all children to weed out psycho killers.
It's like, we had a camera on him the whole time. For the most part, he's fine, but every once in a while, the eyes would get a little glassy. He'd start muttering under his breath. And then one time, you know, when he like fell and broke his finger? Well, the kids all thought he broke his finger, but we watched. He just grabbed his own finger and just snapped it at a 90-degree angle.
He had no idea why.
He did it to himself.
Really, you're asking for Kid Nation as a school system, right? Would that be fair to say?
Yes. I mean, I don't know what that is, but yes.
Kid Nation, the reality TV show?
Totally unfamiliar.
The much maligned reality TV show, which was basically, everyone's like, oh, it's going to be Lord of the Flies. It's these stupid kids. They're going to put them out in the desert. This is how, what has this become? We're 1984 now. You know, it's like, by the way, every year, by the way, we're just 1984 over and over again. But this was a reality show, which when you actually watched it, was like a really, like, kind of like, family-friendly, uplifting show about teamwork.
You're
and
full
kids.
Of shit, dude. There's a kid who got poisoned by Clorox because he didn't know what he was drinking, and another kid lit a toilet on fire. Like, it was no, truly Lord of the Flies.
I'm saying how it got edited. It looked, you know, they cut it together like a family-friendly, like, oh, this is about teamwork and leadership. But they built in such amazing shit into that show. Like, you can't even imagine. Like, the way that they introduced the leaders, the kid leaders, to the other kids was the other kids had to take a long, sweaty bus ride through the desert, and they all gathered in an open dusty field, and then the leader kids flew in on helicopters.
What the
and
fuck?
The backwash would just dust everybody, and they'd be like, hello! and these little kids, by the way, not the oldest kids, they were like kind of middle of the road younger kids, they would come back, hi, we're your leaders, and immediately everyone just hated them. I was like, this is amazing.
Well, they were setting up a coup, because it was all 7-year-olds, and there were 14-year-olds like as the underlings.
Oh god, I have to watch this. This is so fucked up.
It's masterful. Well, the best part was, every episode ended with a competition between two teams, and whoever won had to choose between two awards. Something they wanted, like a water slide, and something they needed, like fresh water.
So, don't they see that you can't use the water slide without water?
Well, the stuff like, you get horses, like or arcade machines, or a water pump, or an extra toilet. And they'd sit there, like, debating which one to get.
They went with the arcade, by the way, over that whatever.
Which was a
so
serious misstep later on when their one toilet burned to the ground.
And they played the arcade for, like, 25 minutes.
They're bored.
Well, no, they have a town meeting about how it's like, we all are spending too much time in this arcade.
None of them are doing their chores anymore.
It's amazing. And then they had a class system, so it's like, depending on how well you did, you would get certain levels. So the lowest level would be the working class, and you get paid. In universe currency, in like Buffalo Nickel, so you get paid to be like, and your jobs are like cleaning the toilets, like all the little kids, you know, do that. And then the top level is the leader class, and you get $20 worth of like nickels, and you had to do nothing. You could just delegate. So all is built into it. There's class hatred. And then the best one is the merchant class, which was second to highest, and all you do is just manage a shop and just take everyone's money, which is just so rife with like capitalism, proletariat, and communism.
This sounds
amazing.
Like a brilliantly conceived show.
It
like,
was
whoever
really good.
Dreamed this
it's really, really good.
It's
really, 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 really good. Anyway, so let's talk about the future of schools. If I flash forward, let's say 30 years, do you think
too
the
much?
School, too much?
We're dead.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, well, let's go 15. Do you think the school systems will look
Too much. Fairly There's no similar. Schools anymore.
Wow.
Well, let's say
We're
five.
Just going roar.
Let's just go five. Nice and
10
close.
Years from now,
really bad.
The last year of school ever. Wait, what year is in 30 years from now? It'll be
2043.
2043. Oh,
yeah.
Sick
yeah,
movie.
We're gone, right? We're gone.
So, yeah, no, we're here.
No, no, yeah. And we mean you mean humanity, right?
Right.
Yeah, 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 yeah. We're not.
I'm here. Right. You're gone.
No, we're come to that, we're man. All gone.
It always has.
We're all gone. Your people are still here.
Yeah, my yeah.
You guys are doing really well.
Gestured towards
shockingly
Freddy.
Well.
Yes. Anywho, the future. Like,
now that we've laid out a vague dystopian nightmare,
do you think
no
school? I feel like a lot of people have complaints about the school system, but it seems like it's pretty much the same as it was 10 years ago. Or 20 years ago. Do you think it will change in general, like public schools in America / Canada / the world in general? Or will we still keep with like a STEM education system filled with lecturing and homework at night?
You know, I'd rather talk about the future of racism. Listen to this.
Lay it on me. I've got a stack of words I've been dying to say.
How far ahead is this? How far in the future?
Let's say 15 20. Years.
15, all right.
15 years. Man, that's so... How much has it changed? I'm genuinely asking. How much has it changed in the last 15 years? Not that much, right? Like, we've almost been in high school 15 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. In education, not much. Well, not much insight. So, if you differentiate between college education, non-college education, I'd argue that college education is setting up to change dramatically due to, like, massively open online courses. So, like, MOOCs, as they're called, have... been pushing college in a very different direction. Mm-hmm. Now, before graduate, so sub 18, I'd argue that the institutional education hasn't changed, but outside of school education has changed dramatically due to the enablement of the internet. Mm-hmm. Just that alone is a pretty big powerhouse.
Yeah, I was totally referring to like high school because it's true. University, one thing I took for granted is that, you know, class cancellations being on the internet to see, you know, I would have to drive about an hour to get to university. And if I ever got there and class was canceled, I didn't know because I missed a call or I didn't call a number, something like that. Even though it's small, it's still like something. One thing I definitely took for granted is that the internet made university way easier. I remember my sister registering for classes on the phone. That's messed up. That's a nightmare.
I did a year. Oh no, try this. I did a year abroad in South Africa, and you had to register for classes in a giant bum rush in a gym because there was not enough like phone infrastructure in the university to do that. So literally, just imagine like 4,000 kids that are like 20 years old with these huge like phone book style books, being like, a science 413 is full now. 417, 417 is
full
now.
Oh my god.
418
is like an auction. It's like an auction.
It literally was like that.
The 14th, 418,
718. Sociology 302.
I was in university for about 5 years, and I remember my first year, whatever, university, but the fourth year, looking for an online course, I'm like, why don't I do an online course? I found one. You know, I chose one between two. And then my last year in university, there was like so many that I could have chosen from. I could have done my whole semester online, you know? And like, why do people even move to wherever they want to go to school?
Sex. You know? Well, that's the big thing with the whole online courses. Like if you go to Udacity, is that one of them?
Yeah,
or
Udacity.
Like Udacity or MIT Open Education. It's just kind of like, why do I go to college? I could just do this all for free.
Well, it's
free
like, again,
the
at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, you get the piece of paper.
Really, I mean, really, you're looking for community and connections, but I mean, unless it's built like that, you are kind of going for an education that nobody needs to go to school to learn computer science.
Well, I think, but there's also a side of this that is just straight up the economics of education and how expensive secondary education is. And even despite the cost, you know, a lot of the studies still show for basically everybody, it's like, okay, having a college degree will result in this much more money that you make
but
in
that's
your life.
But how much as cultural like that's
they break that down.
Thing.
No, but they do. They break that down based on. I was hearing a study actually specifically about like Latino college bachelor's degree education and how that still is a big factor in terms of like overall income by the end of your life, and you know, in addition to that, so again, the public school system is one thing. So you start to talk about, okay, well, people are becoming dissatisfied with the public school system. So then it's like, okay, well, now they're shelling out for all the way back. Not even just, you know, hey, I'm going to pay for my kid to go to private school in grade school. It's even down all to like preschool and pre-preschool.
And in LA, if you make any amount of money, you're like scrapping to get your kids into like preschools and kindergartens that are private and competitive.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how you judge a kindergartner. You're like, Billy's not country day material.
It's whoever stacks the blocks high enough.
Yeah, exactly. It feels a lot like the Japanese system is very much like you have to get into a good university to get a good job. To get into a good university, you need to go to a good high school. The high school goes to grade school to the point where the kindergarten and the preschool is like the most important thing for a kid.
Because that's
like
step one.
That's step one on the track to Tokyo University or whatever, you know, college you go to. And it's even crazier in other countries too. Like China is similar the same way where the university and the testing for it is insane. Like I remember I was in China and we were sort of looking at these universities just as part of a documentary project that I was working on. And it was something like, in, you know, here maybe like Harvard, you know, it's like maybe they'll accept, I think, 1 out of 100 or something like that. And there's 1 out of 10,000 kids would get into a given university.
But what's fascinating is I believe it's either Finland or Denmark.
You're thinking of Finland. I think Finland? I already know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. What was fascinating was so America's way down on this. Like, no, well, you know, nobody's impressed by America.
Hold on. Here's the funny thing. I think this is an interesting point to make is like, America has this weird thing where, like, in our brains, it's like, we gotta be number one, number one, number one, number one, number one. And when we're like, well, we're 27th in math education.
Our health is healthcare is literally the lowest one of any developed nation. You guys know that, right?
It's like, of any developed nation. And it's like, well, we're losing to everyone. It's like, hey, okay, we got some problems. Definitely not 100%, but we're doing better than Botswana. Just, okay, we're hanging. We're just deep breaths. Let's not panic here. We're not literally murdering each other in the streets every moment and screaming, you know, the fuck schools.
Which is just to take this as a brief tangent. It's always funny to me when it's like any of those categories where it's like, so everybody else does this better than us, guys. It's like, so do you want to like maybe just try copying what they do? It's like, no.
We're going to do
that's
our own
way. That's not the American
thing.
Way.
We're going to figure out our own way.
There's 100 other countries that do this way better, right? Do you think we should just maybe just try? No?
No.
Don't copy them?
No, we're going to do our own fucking thing.
Okay,
it's
even
be
though it works for everyone?
No, okay. Fuck them.
Okay.
Fuck them.
They're not American.
They're not American. Their ideas aren't American. It won't work in America, the land of exceptional Americans.
But that's what was so fascinating about the Finland thing is, so China and Japan have been going, they're like, they're in the top five, you know, super educated kids coming out, but they're super hardcore. Those kids are doing homework till 11 p.m., right? They're freaking out.
They have entire schools just to study for tests.
Kids jumping off of buildings because it's too intense. Then you turn to Finland. Finland's doing just as well. But they chill out, do like 6 hours, go home, no homework. They're just hanging out, but just as good as China and Japan. And so the education minister there who totally turned around, it's like one, I think, gentleman who kind of completely transformed Finland. He said he came to, he's been brought to America multiple times to try to transform our system.
Nope, still not right. Back to Finland.
And he gives a talk.
Maybe we could go to sauna instead.
He gives a talk and the journalist was like, so, like, do you think that's going to work? And he's just like, they don't hear a fucking thing I said. Like, they just hear, it just goes clean over Americans' heads. Mm. And the basic thing was equality across all public schools. Like, that was their big, that was his big take home. It was like, it's not about this lecturing versus how programmed do the kids need to be or problem solving, even though they push that a lot. The big thing was equal resources at all schools, and also no, this idea of kids excelling above other kids and sort of merit-based education just out the window. Like, everything is hyper, equal.
That is
all the way
least
through.
American thing I have
equal
ever heard.
Is horrible.
That
fair.
Is literally,
talking about
literally what
now,
you just
said. I'm not going to handle this.
Exactly.
Dez is actually leading the room now.
I was going to say, I think another big part of this, though, is like what a culture ultimately values education as a tool for. Yeah. So, and there's a big thing where, like, you know, Chinese schools are insanely intense and everything, but there's this really insane disparity when you look at, like, the American university system isn't really about educating undergraduates. The American university system primarily, it's changed a little bit in the last, like, 10, 15 years, but it's primarily about having, like, a vast national network of research institutes that, you know, create basic science research. Mm-hmm. The application of teaching undergraduates is more like a secondary effect then being able to generate graduates who become scientists. Now, a lot of colleges have developed into sort of these like money generating systems where they're like, undergraduates are kind of like our bread and butter. Master's degrees are fucking cake. We make so much money from master's degrees. They're fucking great. And then PhDs are sort of, you know, it's a whole different crisis. But like research, the United States, despite, you know, it not performing as well as say China or Japan, produces a vast, much, much vaster amount of original basic science research than any other nation, and also way out of proportion to its population versus, you know, it's like, well, of course America produces way more. I mean, it's so much larger than France or wherever. But no, we generate a tremendous amount of basic science research. So for us, and most of that obviously ends up becoming consumer products or advancements for military or commercial living or whatever. So for us, education is really about the creation and perpetuation of more material wealth. And that is kind of the underlying driver to a certain extent. And in other countries, if that's not your end goal, then all your other assumptions kind of change and then it becomes different. If in Finland it's about making sure that we're an equal society, then all the assumptions about education can change. That's all I got.
So I was told we had to wrap it up.
Oh.
So I'm going to do education. I know you're going to say that the world has fallen apart by this point or something similar, but 1,000 years from now. No. Let's go with 200. 200 years from now.
Same thing.
200 years from now. Education. If there are humans, how will they be educated?
Cave paintings.
With the internet.
No.
200 years. That's like 20 years from now. 200 years from now, I want to say all these different ways that people will be learning without giving away potentially really awesome script ideas.
Take your time. We all have that problem. We know how it goes.
Same thing.
Yeah, no, we all suffer from that problem.
You, as soon as you're born, you get a chip jammed into your brain through your eyeball.
Nice.
And it just gives you education. Mm-hmm. Version 6.1.3.
It's like, oh, you know what? We forgot. We didn't. You need to go over there. We just gave you the chip. You got to get a patch. Right now, you think the French Revolution happened in Wisconsin. It's an old thing. We'll just get it fixed.
Is this a little typo? It's a Wikipedia thing.
Freddie.
I think you're going to have down to a personalized AI-controlled level where it's just...
Diamond Age.
Yeah.
Okay, just do the Diamond Age.
What's Diamond Age?
Diamond Age is a book.
No, Diamond Age is a... It's a book. It's by Neal Stephenson, the guy who did...
Thanks for not calling
me a fucking liar.
Actually, it's a book.
It's but one of the things within it is like there's a basically a book that is like an AI teacher thing that is read by actors that... Anyway, it's a good book.
The thing that's special about it is it's a book. It's an e-book that has another book that is accompanies a kid from like birth until they're age 12 that has a actor who impersonates all the characters using a motion capture suit within that book. And it ages with the kid, educating them from basically preschool all the way through.
Through parable and the power of story.
How, you guys see Holy Motors?
Should we?
Yet.
Fucking... Whoa. Anyways.
Ben.
I think that, so we're talking 100 years in the future?
200.
Oh, sweet. Then it makes mine way more. You guys are just pedestrian shit. I'm going to say that education will be a combination of pre-birth genome tweaking and then internal, literally like during gestation, neurological like kind of pre-programming. You'll get a lot of priming of the parts of the brain that are, you know, okay, so as a point of example of what I'm talking about, you see those studies of like parts of the teenage brain that develop at different rates, and it's like, the reason you made bad decisions when you were a teenager is because the part of your brain that lets you make really good decisions as an adult wasn't really done forming yet. So when a teenager does something shitty, and you're like, why did you do that? And they go, I don't know. They genuinely don't know. They're not being smartasses. Like, those circuits aren't grown yet. And so I think that there we will have priming techniques and we will manipulate how children's brains form before they're even born.
So baby geniuses.
Yeah.
So the babies are going to come out of the womb being like, oh my God, I'm covered in pussy. My mom's pussy.
So imagine, like, you know, you probably experienced, like, there's probably like one kid in every
experience that.
I thought we were going to go a whole episode without talking about some biological horror.
No.
But I was wrong.
I was really happy.
It wasn't Logan that brought it there this time. It was our guest.
Just imagine, like, you know how, and you've probably experienced as a teacher, like, maybe you have, like, one kid that you ran into that was like, what a bright, charming, engaging student. Like, I wish every student I had was as, like, cheerful and engaged and interested. And, like, even if they weren't great at something, they gave it a shot. I imagine that through that kind of tweaking, you will end up with a whole class of those children. Every kid will be ready and raring to learn whatever you throw at them, and some will be good at certain things, probably because their parents want them to be, and they programmed that in early. And some kids will be good at other things because their parents wanted them to be good at those other things, and they programmed it in early. And the actual education process will probably be a lot more just about human socializing and teaching kids how to interact with people, with sort of a loose backdrop of history and general problems.
That's a real futuristic Nintendo Wii device.
Yeah, like, I don't know, implanted in their faces or something.
That's shitty, because if all the kids in class are good and willing and everything like that, then there's going to be, like, no shitty kids that are going to be like, oh, fuck everyone, I'm going to go tell jokes on the internet and make videos of myself.
Yeah, the future's going to be...
Right. That sounds boring.
No one's going to be like, I'm going to go strip.
The future's gonna be boring. I'm gonna show my tits.
But
the great thing
is,
in 200 years, though, the best part is that there will be like
CG tits.
I'm gonna do this for you, Logan. There's gonna be these horrible bio factories that shit out ready-made strippers. They won't even be real people.
Man, I'm glad you did that for me.
What do you mean? Wait.
Every episode we do, he brings up some horror show from the future about, like, disturbing bioprinted quasi-intelligences that follow you around like pet monkeys.
That are like, ah, kill me.
The one in particular we always talk about is a tiny midget macho man, Randy Savage, that comes out of, like, your personal bio-industrial orifice that's in your closet. So imagine a vagina that just kind of craps out like a little mini macho man that's like, hey, brother, you gonna want to go watch some more wrestling on the hollow tube? You're super smart child is at work today.
And you're like, oh my God, guys, let's get stoned by Mini Macho Man. And then it comes to like 10 p.m. You're like, oh, I gotta get to bed.
No, I want a party. And then you just kick him in the incinerator.
Yeah, exactly. You can put him in the incinerator or in the grinder.
Yeah.
Or his pieces go back into the contents to create another.
You'll eat him as sausage tomorrow, because they'll just grind down the bio constituents and you'll be like, sausage, bacon. And then be like, re-rendering biological molecules.
Re-rendering Macho Man.
Shit is no longer going into a toilet either. It's just going back into this machine.
Right back into you. We're closing the human loop, people.
Closing the loop. Dez, so, what's the future of education?
I was gonna say,
you know, gene manipulation.
Yeah,
and
suck
like,
it, Dez.
You took my answer. That's exactly what I was gonna say.
Finally. You know, you guys could have the same answer. No one,
I do. No one needs to take it.
That is the most Canadian fucking answer.
That's so un-American of you, Harley.
I thought of it first,
damn it. Take your pine cone soaked in maple syrup. Get the fuck out of here.
So I'm glad you brought up Randy Man.
This always happens at dinner whenever it's like the waiter comes around and it's like, what are you going to get? And it's like, oh, I'll get a pepperoni pizza. And the next person's like, oh, I was going to get that too.
Like, what is the problem? You can still eat that.
Yeah.
We'll look like twins, or I'll look kind of original, and like people think we're on a date. It'll be weird. I can't do that.
Yeah, that's very American. I was like, yeah, you could both have that. You're like, I'm not going to take his answer. I ain't gay. Never been gay.
What do you think this is?
Did any of you guys ever read Forever War?
Fuck yeah.
So I think in the future, education will be a lot like the tail end of that book, where they live entire lives in the course of seconds in real world.
Mm.
So we'll just put our babies in these vats.
Relativistic tubs.
And by the time they reach 8, they will have lived 1,000 lives from all generations.
Can
and then
you
we'll
imagine
have these,
what an annoying 8-year-old that would make?
Well, not
profoundly right. Twerp.
What it means is
Let
the
me
difference...
Let me tell you something about dying on the battlefield.
What that means is the difference... The difference between an 8 and a 12-year-old, an 8 and a 40-year-old isn't that much. If they've lived 1,000 lives, 30 years actually.
Yeah, but
why does it stop? Why does it stop at 8?
Why not? Well, you're right. You can just keep going.
I feel like that will result in so many 8-year-olds coming out, opening their eyes. I'm like, oh, kill me.
Yeah, and I also don't understand.
They don't know at what point it becomes real again.
I've seen a thousand atrocities.
Yeah, well, I don't understand why if you can live like 1,000 lifetimes by the time you're 8, if like ultimately humanity's greatest desire is to live forever or not die or something or whatever, why would you
like,
pop out
a thousand?
It's
enough?
Like, okay, you've done 1,000. Welcome to the last. You know that that giant life you live. Because like, think about it. You get older and the years pass faster. This 8-year-old pops out. It's like, welcome to your real life. You get 90 more years. Like that'll be over in the blink of a fucking eye. What are you talking about? I get one left.
Yeah.
Kill everyone.
Just leave them in there.
Well, the real question is,
is this one of them?
Exactly. It's like during each of those thousand, are they aware of the 999 before that, or is it only when you leave do you get the cumulative amount?
There's an awesome short story that I love, which is all about the Fermi's paradox, where it's like, why if there are so many fucking stars in the sky and potential planets, like we're all alone.
Sure.
Where it's just like, oh, because, you know, civilizations get so fucking advanced, they create these vast virtual worlds and they turn in on themselves and they never come out because they have no, why would they?
I've seen that's a possibility.
And what this guy, what the whole premise of the story is, they're like, woo, M. Night Shyamalan moment. And it's like, but inside each virtual world is an escape hatch just in case you want to wake up and do it. And that's this right now. All you got to do is wake up. You're reading it right now. Go ahead. No. All right. That's the end of the story. Good luck. Have fun in virtual reality. End of story.
I was like, oh.
So on that
vaguely disquieting existential note.
I went out and I got a Kentucky Fried Chicken Double Down after that. It's like, if it's not
the
real,
best this virtual world has to offer.
That's like the steak in the Matrix, that steak that guy likes.
It's just me in a, like a weird gothic restaurant be like, Harley.
Ignorance is bliss.
Nothing tastes as real as these two lightly breaded fried chicken breasts with a piece of bacon and mayonnaise between them.
Thanks, Harley.
Thank you.
Thanks, Freddie.
Thank you.
Thanks, Des.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Logan.
Hey.
Hi.
To the future.
Let's. Oh, wait. There it is.
A light clink.
To the future. Light clinks.
Light clinks. Okay.
Oh, one for you, Freddie.